The lesson this morning, I took the title of it from verse 28, where Paul said, "But I was freeborn." And that "free" is added, but he says this, "But I was born." I was born. I was born of God. And we'll look at that, but we're going to pick back up in verse 24. You remember Paul in this chapter had been giving his testimony of the Lord dealing with him and his conversion. How that the Lord met him on the road to Damascus and the Lord saved him. And he told them that the Lord had sent him to the Gentiles, and that made him mad. That just turned that whole crowd on him. And so here in verse 24 we pick up, Paul is being beaten. He's being beaten for the gospel that he preached, which was sovereign grace. God saves whom he will. Mercy to sinners like me and you. The crowd listened to him preach. If you'll read that chapter again, they listened to him. They were quiet. Until that he said that God had rejected the Jews and sent salvation to the Gentiles, demonstrating his sovereign mercy, and it made him mad. The message of grace stirred up the people, and they wanted to kill the messenger because of the message. Since they couldn't get at God, they were going to do the next best thing, and that's get his messenger. And they turned on Paul. If you really want to see human depravity, if you want to see it, if you want to see the nature of the human nature and the enmity that's in the heart, just preach. Just tell the truth that God saves whom he will. Without regard to merit or heritage, God saves whom he will. That's when you will see the enmity that's in the human heart. It's when God's sovereignty is brought out. Just preach that Jesus Christ redeemed a multitude of sinners given to him by the Father. That salvation from sin is all of Christ. It's all according to his sovereign will. And you'll see that enmity come out. The group here in this chapter was ready to listen to Paul until Paul presented God's sovereign grace. And the people here in this chapter were thought to be the best people in town. They were the moral majority. They were the Pharisees. But they were the most hateful people of the gospel than anyone on this earth. Religious people, listen, religious people, religious lost people hate the gospel more than anyone on this earth. No one hates it more than religious lost people. They are the ones who despised our Lord. They are the ones who turned on the Lord Jesus Christ. They are. They're the ones who did it. And verse 24, the chief captain sent for Paul. As you see here, it says the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging. They were going to beat a confession out of him. That's what they were going to do. That's what they were doing. They're going to beat a confession out of him. But Paul wisely asked this centurion that was going to do this. He said, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned?" Uncondemned. And that scared that chief captain so much so that the chief captain came. He came himself to try and smooth things over with Paul. When he found this out, he tried to smooth things over. And the chief captain here in verse 28, here's what I want to really deal with. And the chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, but I was born. I was freeborn, it said, but Paul said, I was born free. I was born free. That captain says, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. It cost me a lot of money, a lot of money. The chief captain knew that he could lose his citizenship by one act of disobedience to the Roman law. He knew he could lose it. Here's a good point. If you can buy it, you can lose it. If you and I can purchase it, it can be lost. It can be lost. And this chief captain here, he also wondered, standing there looking at the Apostle Paul. And at this point, Paul was a poor man. Paul did not look like a well-to-do man, and he wasn't. He said he suffered the loss of all things. He lost everything. All that Paul had obtained, all the riches that he had, and I believe Paul was a wealthy young man at one time. But he lost it all for Christ's sake. He became poor, just as our Lord became poor. Paul became poor. And this chief captain, he looks at Paul and he's wondering, how can a man like this obtain such freedom? Because it cost me a lot of money. It cost me a lot of money. And Paul's answer was this: I was born free. I didn't buy my freedom. I was born free. Let us look at this. In a spiritual sense, let me put this in a spiritual light to us this morning. Every believer is freeborn. I didn't do anything to obtain my freedom. Our citizenship is in that New Jerusalem that's above. The scripture says that speaks of that New Jerusalem that's above. That's where our citizenship is. It's in that New Jerusalem that is above. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we didn't purchase that citizenship. We didn't purchase it at all. We were born free. We were born into it. We were born into the kingdom of God. Not educated into it. We didn't purchase it. We were born into the kingdom of God. Our citizenship is free to us. But now, it wasn't free to Christ. It did cost him a great sum. It cost him his blood, his life, his suffering. It cost him. Natural men cannot say this. They can't say this. Only those who are born of God can say that they are freeborn, that they didn't purchase their citizenship by any money or any merit or any heritage. They are freeborn. Natural men are not free in a spiritual sense. Every man born into this world is born in bondage. Everybody that's in this world, that comes into this world in bondage. In bondage. Man is in bondage to indwelling sin. We have never been our own. Never been our own. We're in bondage. The second we are born into this world, you're in bondage to your parents, aren't you? You're in bondage to your parents. You're in bondage to the laws of the land. You're in bondage. Listen, you're in bondage to this flesh. Every believer in here would get rid of this flesh. And when I say flesh, I'm not talking about this body, this skin. I'm talking about that nature of flesh. You'd get rid of it. It's a bondage to you. That old nature that you carry around, it just, you would get rid of it if you could. If it was possible, you'd get rid of it. You'd get rid of the presence of sin if you could get rid of it, wouldn't you? I do. I long to see the day when I will sin no more. I long for the day when I will be tempted no more. Sin will not even be an issue, not even the presence of sin. It will be gone. Man is born in bondage to the lust of this flesh. He does what the flesh dictates. He does what the flesh dictates. That's what it says over in Ephesians 2, fulfilling the lust of the mind and of the flesh. He's in bondage to that. In bondage to it. He's in bondage to the elements of this world. You can't get away from it. Man's in bondage to religion. By nature, man is religious. He's religious, he's superstitious. Remember Paul when they had that altar to the unknown God? He said, I see in all things, I perceive in all things, you're too superstitious. I had an aunt let a black cat run across the road in front of her. She freaked out. I watched her one time. I thought, what are you doing? You know, like you spit in your hand, throw salt over your back, or you rub your hair. Stupid. Just stupid. And I'm like, I've never seen that before, because I didn't see it at my parents. But people are superstitious. Aren't you glad you're free from that? I'm glad that I'm free from superstition. That's a bondage. That's a bondage. Men and women are not free. We're not free. We're not free from the law. By nature, men and women by nature are not free from the law, not free from this flesh, not free from this world. You're not free. You're not free. The will of man's not free. The will of man's not free. It's in bondage to his nature. You know, the alcoholic, you can take most alcoholics, and if they could, they would not be alcoholics anymore, but they can't do it, can they? Their nature and the craving for that is stronger than their will. They know better. They know better, but they can't do better. It's got them. The drug addict, you just name it. You just name one thing after another. You say, I don't want to do that. It would be my will not to be like that. But your nature's stronger than your will. You know better. You can even will better. But you can't do better. It's too strong for you. It's too strong. Like the dog that returns to his vomit, so does a sinner to his ways. But the man that's born of God, listen, the man that's born of God is free. It says they're free born, but Paul said, I was born. I'm born free. Free born. To every one of us whom the Lord has saved, we are free. We are free in the true sense of that word. We are free from condemnation. Over in Romans chapter 1, turn over there in Romans. No, not Romans 1. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Turn over there. In Romans chapter 8, it says, there is therefore now. Now, this is good news to a guilty sinner. This is good news to someone who knows what guilt is, the guilt of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But right now, there's no condemnation. As I get older, I seek to live in the reality of that truth. I don't walk around, woe is me, and worried and wringing my hands. I turn to the Word of God. I turn to the Word of God. And I take God at His Word. This is to me. This is to you. There's no condemnation. It's over with. Isn't that good news? I tell you what, you get close to the grave, the closer you get to the grave, the better the news is. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There is condemnation to those who are not in Christ, to those who believe not, who love not our Lord Jesus Christ. There is condemnation. But to those who are in Christ, to us who believe, there's no condemnation. We're free. We're free from condemnation. We're free from it. And then to the believer is free from the curse of the law. Cursed is everyone that continues not in those things which are written in the book of the law, says over in Galatians chapter 3. We are free from that curse. That's a very real curse, and we are free from it because that curse fell on Christ. It fell on me in Christ, and I'm free from it. There's no curse now. That curse is gone. It's been lifted. The law can't curse me now. Paul said it's not right. This is beautiful. Paul said it's not right. It's not right to beat me, scourge me. I'm a Roman, uncondemned. I'm not condemned. Now why are you going to beat me? Isn't that beautiful? The law can't beat me. The law cannot condemn me. It can't beat me because I have been set free in Christ. I am a citizen of heaven. I'm a citizen of heaven, uncondemned. Now listen, uncondemned. And the law can't beat me. It cannot curse me. And then we are free from the dominion of sin. That's what it says over in Romans 6, that we are free. Reckon yourselves to be free from the dominion of sin. Sin does not reign in my heart as a king. Sin does not have dominion over me. It means it does not have authority over me. It does not have power over me. Yes, I sin. I do. But when I tell you what, when I sin, the blood of Christ answers for it. Sin does not reign over us anymore. It's not a king over us. It's not our master. You know, for those who are not been saved by the grace of God, those who are lost, sin reigns over them as a master. It's a nature. That sin nature rules as a master. That's why people do what they do. Because of what they are. And they can't stop. They can't stop. It rules over them as a master, but it's not our master. Jesus Christ is enthroned in the heart. He rules in the heart. He's our master. The Lord is our master. And we are free from the dominion of sin. And we are free from the clutches of Satan. He's not our master no more. He doesn't dictate to me anything anymore. Free from him. The strong man of the house has been taken over by the stronger man of heaven. The stronger man of heaven has come into this world and he has bound Satan. And he has cast him out. He's cast him out of the heart of every one of his children. I'm trying to think of that scripture that was read in the study the other Thursday. The scripture that was read is about that young man that brought his son. Remember, he brought his son to the Lord and he was foaming at the mouth. He'd cast himself in the fire and in the water. And the Lord cast him out. He cast that demon out, that deaf and dumb demon. He cast him out. Remember what the Lord said to that demon? Don't enter into him anymore. Don't enter into him anymore. And when the Lord saves, when he saves a sinner, he commands Satan, do not enter into him or her anymore. You're not the master. I am. I'm the master. Carl read that back in the study Thursday. And then we're free from all religious ceremonies and holy days and superstitions. Aren't you glad we're not having ceremonies here and we're burning candles? And you watch these people in Catholicism. They'll walk up and get on their knee and he'll give them a piece of bread and they go through all this rigmarole and all this waving this stupid thing that he waves and smoke rolling out of it and it's all spooky. And aren't you glad we're not doing that this morning? We are free to come here this morning and worship the Lord, listen, in spirit and in truth, not in ceremonies, not in religious duties, but in our hearts. We're able to come here and worship Jesus Christ, our Lord. We've been set free to do that. Boy, for years and years, people were put under bondage, religious bondage. And all these ceremonies and all this stuff that went on that meant nothing. I'm not talking about the ceremonies of the law, which had a meaning to it, which pointed to Christ. But those are over with. But since then, you know, you've had all these other places crop up. It's called themselves Christians or under Christianity and then go through all these ceremonies. We don't have that. Paul said, writes to the Colossians. It tells them to don't be brought under these holy days and all these traditions. Don't let yourself be brought under that. Again, that's what he writes to the Colossians. Don't be caught up into that. Don't do that. And we're free from the second death. The second death. Everybody's got to die once. Some have twice. It's called the second death. And that's when they're cast into the lake of fire. I can't even imagine that. I can't imagine that. You and I are free from that because the scripture says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We are free in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to Isaiah 61. He says here in Isaiah 61, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath anointed me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. He set us free. We're out of prison. We were in bondage to everything I've mentioned. We were in bondage, and he set us free from it. And here we are this morning. Free to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And this freedom didn't cost me and you a dime, did it? It didn't cost us anything. Freeborn. Paul said, I was born free. That captain said, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. And he knew he could lose it. If he did something wrong against the Roman law, he could lose his citizenship. I cannot lose, and you cannot lose, your citizenship in heaven. You can't lose it. Number one, you didn't obtain it. The Lord Jesus Christ obtained it for you by his blood, by his righteousness, by his obedience. He obtained it for you, and it cannot be lost. And you and I are freeborn. We're freeborn. That's good news. Declared citizens of heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Live in reality of that. Live in reality that you belong to another kingdom. The kingdom of God. You belong to that. It's the kingdom of God. It's a very real kingdom. It's as real as the kingdom of men that we live in here on this earth. And it's not lawful for the law to beat us now. For we are free from that law. Free from it. We are free to come to the throne of grace and make our petitions known to Him. We're free to come. We don't have to pay anybody. We're free to come. We are free to read. We are free to pray. We are free to worship God at any time. And don't let any man rob you of this freedom, as Paul writes in Colossians chapter 2 and chapter 3. Don't let anybody rob you of this. Don't do it. I'm going to close with this. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Paul writes to the Galatians in verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand fast in that liberty. Don't let anybody ever bring you under bondage. And I know this. I know we have sat under the gospel for many years. You have, I have. And we think that we wouldn't do that, don't we? We like to think that anyway. But if the Lord pulls His hand back, we would. Remember, Paul went into that temple to offer a sacrifice. Who would have thought Paul would have done that? When I see Paul doing something like that, I think, Lord, help me to stand fast. You know, when you read something like this, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, the first thing for me and you to do, the first thing is, Lord, help me to do that. Call on Him to help you to do what He says to do. Call on Him, because you can't do it, and you can't do it. You'll fall just as sure as the world if He doesn't help you do it. And someday, we will be free from the presence of sin, the temptations of Satan, and this flesh. You know, when our loved ones who have passed away here, they've gone on to be with the Lord, it's sorrow to us. There's a sorrow in it. We miss them. But you know, that's when they really, really were set free. The day you and I die is the day we really are finally set free from all of it. Presence of sin. I can't imagine not. I've known nothing but sin. I can't imagine knowing what it'll be like to never have a sinful thought, to worship the Lord without something coming into my mind to break up that thought. I can't imagine it. But it's so. It's so. We're going to be free from sin, from temptation, and free to worship just as they are right now. Right now. Our loved ones who've gone on to be with the Lord, right now, they are in a perfect worship service. And you and I are struggling, aren't we? I tell you, if it wasn't for the Lord interceding for us, our worship wouldn't be accepted because we can't do it without sin. But they are. They're doing it without sin right now. You and I are freeborn. We're freeborn. Let's live in the reality of that.